Alleluia.
Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. On another occasion, Jesus began to teach by the sea. A very large crowd gathered round him, so that he got into a boat on the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on land. And he taught them at length in parables. In the course of his instruction, he said to them, "Hear this. A sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil wasn't deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it produced no grain. And some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit. It came up and grew and yielded 30, 60, and 100-fold. He added, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." When he was alone, those present along with the 12 questioned him about the parables. He answered them, "The mystery of the kingdom of God has been granted to you. But to those outside, everything comes in parables, so that they may look and see but not perceive, and hear and listen but not understand, in order that they may not be converted and be forgiven." Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand then any of the parables?" The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear, Satan comes at once and takes away the word sown in them. These are the ones sown on rocky ground, who when they hear the word receive it at once with joy, but they have no roots. They last only for a time. Then when tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Those sown among thorns are of another sort. They are the people who hear the word, but worldly anxiety, the lure of riches, and the craving for other things intrude and choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But those sown on rich soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. The Gospel of the Lord. Today, in the letter of the Hebrews, we get to what the letter Hebrews is all about, which is redemption through the forgiveness of sins by means of the action of Jesus, not only the eternal high priest, but the victim, the lamb. And we see what he wants to do. He wants to implant his mercy within us. He stands not continuously offering sacrifices of animals for sins because he has redeemed us once. So there's no need for any more animal blood. But more than that, what he wants to do is he wants to implant his mercy inside of us. The Holy Spirit testifies, the sacred author tells us, "This is the covenant I will establish with them after those days. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write it upon their minds." Jesus is implanting himself together with the Father and the Holy Spirit within us. He's implanting his redemption. We have the chance to receive Jesus' body and blood within us as a seed, his entire body, blood, soul, and divinity. We remember that that blood is for the remission of sins. And Jesus wants that self-gift to be ultimately fruitful. That's why there's a beautiful elision with today's gospel reading. You know that it's my favorite parable because it explains so much. It explains the proclamation of the word. It explains the receptivity that we have. What an incredible means it would be to see and to help you in terms of every visit that you have. Because despite extraordinary work on your part, you'll hit all four soil samples in order to be able to more effectively work. Got to see the stubbornness that people will have in its roots. Got to see the superficiality. Got to see the worldly cares and anxieties, all these other things that are in the soil. And then every once in a while, you will find that really fruitful soil that responds almost immediately with joy and bears extraordinary fruit, beginning with the child growing within. But today, let's talk about mercy. Jesus implants himself in his mercy in us, and he wants it to bear abundant fruit, so that our entire life into eternity will be singing of his mercy. What is the response of our heart to his implanting himself in our heart? We've got to beware of that stubbornness, that resistance, not because we're opposed to it, but just because we go through the life in a routine way. We're a little bit hardened by habit, so that what the Lord is doing just doesn't reach the depth that it ought to. Jesus, in the middle of this parable, talks about what the prophet Isaiah had described, that he uses parables precisely so that we will work at it. It's not enough to see and to look, but we have to perceive. It's not enough to hear and listen, but it's to understand. And he uses parables because if all we do is let it pass through the other ear, as if the meaning, for example, is already known, if we don't struggle with it anymore and try to apply it, we won't bear fruit. That's hardened soil. And sometimes through routine and ritual, we who would never intend to be hardened toward the Lord's action can de facto become hardened. It happens more and more as we age, as we've heard things over and over and over again. So we always need to allow the Lord to take out his hoe and turn over the soil. With regard to his mercy, are we growing in our recognition of our need for it? When the Lord implants himself as the great legislator within us, how attentive are we to that work? Or do we remain just in the habits of yesterday? Second soil sample is superficial. It's rocky soil. As we've explained before, it was rocky because underneath the surface, 3 to 5 inches below the level of the dirt would be limestone throughout most of the Holy Land. So the seed's roots couldn't go very deeply. Likewise, this is always an issue for us. How much do we pay attention? Do we pay attention out of courtesy? Do we pay attention because we're looking, in a sense, to be spiritually entertained, to just get a little bit of a thought that we might be able to chew on? Or are we attentive in such a way that this is going to be life-changing? The Lord speaks and works not just to fill us with a momentary pleasure, but to fill us with eternal joy. But for that, again, we have to work to see and look in order to perceive, and to hear and listen in order to understand, so that our heart doesn't become gross or fat and resistant. Many times we can approach the Lord's mercy for those types of this worldly consolations. Being able to figure it out, having the load of whatever is oppressing us taken off. The Lord wants to do so much more than that. He wants to make us, through receiving His mercy, a transparent monstrance of His mercy. He wants to transform us by receiving the extraordinary riches of His forgiving love into sacraments of His forgiving love for the world. Third type of soil is thorny. And Jesus describes what the thorns are, not sins, though sins obviously choke the growth of His action in us. But worldly cares and anxieties, either pleasures or preoccupations. So often we have those. We have particular desires, we have particular fears. And those sometimes can totally pervade our experience of the Lord's mercy. Especially our fears. We can bring our fears into the confessional, for example, and leave forgiven, but still oftentimes possessed by those fears. The Lord wants to help us to take out those thorns. Because He recognizes that those other things that can complicate our life, our worries or our this worldly hopes, can distract us profoundly from the Lord and His work, so that what He's doing doesn't bear anywhere near as much fruit because we don't cooperate, because we're too obsessed about fears on the one hand, or worldly aspirations on the other, of one sort or another, which doesn't mean that they're not good aspirations or potentially ordered aspirations, but that they're just not Thy will be done, O Lord. The Lord wants to, as the divine gardener, take away those weeds. The fourth type of soil, the soil He wants to give us. This is the wineskin for the reception of the wine of His mercy, is rich or good and fruitful soil. And Jesus lists three criteria of what happens for those with this good soil. First thing is that they hear it, they hear His word. And as we just talk about ad nauseum in Hebrew, to hear and obey is the same word. So that we're allowing Him to act in such a way that our immediate response is fiat. Second is they accept it. They receive it. They bring it within. They treasure it, we could say, in a Marian key. And the third is that they bear fruit, not just a little fruit, not just show one good response, but abundant fruit with these big, big biblical numbers, 30, 60, 100 fold. That the reception of the Lord's merciful work in us is supposed to change our life in manifold ways. Many different aspects we could ponder. But one of the ways that I've examined on this is when I receive the Lord's mercy, does it impact 30 different relationships that I have, or 60, or 100, or more? Because it should impact every relationship. It has the power to do that. But sometimes our cooperation means, okay, when I receive the Lord, that's supposed to impact the relationship literally with everybody. And we can start to enumerate who would be those first 30? Who would be the next 30? To bear fruit. To let the Lord work so that we're not just meeting Him at the sensory level, but at the level of the Spirit. with perception and understanding. Today in the Holy Eucharist, the eternal High Priest offers to the Father what he himself implants within us. Together with his words, he gives himself, the law and the lawgiver, and inscribes himself in the real core of who we are. His merciful plan enters into us. As the letter of the Hebrews says, he wishes to bring it to perfection, to completion. And he will, provided that we meet him with this rich and good and fruitful soil. The same rich, fruitful, and good soil he gave us on the day of our baptism and wishes to renew every day. A sower went out to sow. And that sower sows still. Praise be Jesus Christ.